RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Indonesian President Joko Widodo praises anti-graft agency KPK, urges public help stamp out corruption. NGOs file letter of reprimand against Minister of a Reclamation Project. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo called on Indonesian citizens to refrain from corruption and stop others from committing it during a visit to Bandung, West Java on Saturday, September 17. He said that his message is simple and clear. Stop corruption, that's it. No one should do it, not at any time. The president also said the government has always respected the effort of the Corruption Eradication Commission, or KPK, to stamp out corruption, including its recent arrest of the Regional Representative Council Speaker Irman Gusman for allegedly receiving illegal gratification. The president stated that the KPK has been handling everything within their jurisdiction professionally. Several NGOs have issued a letter of reprimand against Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan for planning to resume the G Island Reclamation Project in Jakarta Bay. The open letter of reprimand was recently read out by Martin Hadiwinata of the Indonesian Traditional Fishermen's Association at the Legal Aid Institute office. He said that the resumption of the G Island Reclamation Project is against a verdict issued in May 2016 by the State Administrative Court, PTUN, in Jakarta that ordered the revocation of the project's permit issued by the Jakarta governor and suspension of the project until further notice, in effect a legally binding decision. The legal warning was supported by the People's Coalition for Fishery Justice, or KIARA, the Indonesian Legal Aid Foundation, the Legal Aid Center of Dompet Duafa, the Muara Angke Traditional Fishermen Community, the Women's Solidarity, the Students' Executive Board of the University of Indonesia, and the National Students' Executive Board. The Regional Representative Council, DPD, has said, "We'll leave the case of alleged corruption involving its chairman to the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, to resolve." The DPD Deputy Chief Farouk Muhammad stated at the Parliament building on Saturday evening that responding to the press conference held by the KPK leadership after it had caught a DPD member red-handed, the DPD leadership and members are concerned about the case. Farouk noted that the allegation that the DPD chief was involved in a bribery case has nothing to do with the functioning of the DPD. He stressed that the legal action taken by the KPK will not influence the DPD in carrying out its duties, and KPK will continue to perform the obligations institutionally and individually as expected. According to Farouk, the DPD leadership and members also called on all parties, particularly the elite, to respect the principle of presumption of innocence and not tolling the alleged misdeeds by one DPD member to the role of the DPD. He also urged against any media trial and urged the media to uphold the due legal process while reporting the case. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia, famous all over the world for its Bali Island, is now ready to reveal its other hidden paradises to foreign as well as domestic tourists. Trying to duplicate Bali's tourism success, the nation is working to develop 10 new destinations located across the country. The 10 places are Borobudur in Central Java, Mandalika on Lombok Island of West Nusa Tenggara, Labuan Bajo in Flores, East Nusa Tenggara, Bromo Tenggara Semeru in East Java, Pulau Seribu in North Jakarta, Lake Toba in North Sumatra, Wakatobi in Southeast Sulawesi, Tanjung Lesung in Banten, Morotai in the northern region of Halmahera in the Maluku Islands, and Tanjung Kelayang in Belitung, Bangka Belitung Province. Tourism and Culture Minister Arif Yahya has confirmed that the government has focused on developing and promoting the 10 new destinations, particularly through the Wonderful Indonesia promotion to improve its tourism competitiveness globally. He added that the various international tourism awards won by Indonesia so far has reflected the world's recognition of country strength in the tourism field. Gandrung Sewu Festival, which was held in Boom Beach, Banyuwangi Regency, East Java, has mesmerized thousands of local and foreign tourists who attended the festival. Acting Head of Tourism and Cultural Department of Banyuwangi Administration, Yanuar Bramuda, in Banyuwangi on Sunday explained that as many as 1,300 Gandrung dancers play wonderful choreography in the show line with a background Bali Strait. He stated that the festival, which has been the fifth ever held, has been transformed into a national tourism activity. This year, the festival presented a diorama of Gandrung Lukita. The theme, which was deliberately chosen for the performance this year, is a continuation of the previous year, Gandrung Sewu, that tells about the struggle of Blambangan Kingdom, or forerunner of Banyuwangi, against colonizer. The last item. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed the hope that the 19th National Sport Week, or PON19, will produce national athletes capable of achieving great heights. President said in Bandung District, West Java on Saturday afternoon that the government thinks that competition starts from the lowest level of a village, a district, or a province and goes right up to the national level, namely the PON, and the government wants to attract the best athletes at a very young age in all disciplines of the sport. According to the president, the PON, which is being held from September 17 to 29, 2016, can help athletes to make even better achievements at higher levels, such as in the SEA Games, Asian Games, and the Olympics. President Joko Widodo observed that if the competitions continue from the bottom to the national level, Indonesia will have good athletes. The head of state opened PON19 at Bandung Lautan Api Sport Stadium on Saturday night. A number of events are on the agenda as the games open, including traditional dances, PON flame and fireworks. Meanwhile, West Java Governor Ahmad Heriawan said that in Bandung that all arrangements for the opening of PON19 were in place. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. President Joko Widodo praises anti-graft agency KPK urges public help stamp out corruption. NGOs file letter of reprimand against Minister of a Reclamation Project. That was the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with news from Indonesia, which presents a variety of interesting information from across the archipelago in a week. The first news came from Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta. Vice Regent Imawan Wahyudi said Gunung Kidul is ready to become an implementation pioneer of village information system on a national scale. He said the village information system function strategically in three essential interests in the area. First, data collection overall population. Secondly, the administration of society as a whole to meet the various needs of data to base policy making in Gunung Kidul. Third, providing a great opportunity for the growth of citizen journalism activities, which has three main principles, namely transparency, accountability, and balance. According to Imawan, the implementation of village information would be beneficial to provide accurate, thorough, and efficient information to the government in setting public policy that will be implemented for the community. Among them, various aid programs to the community so that the central government could be right on target. Imawan added, until today, he has prepared a comprehensive and operational concepts for implementation of the system in Gunung Kidul. Even with different qualification, Gunung Kidul communities have run massive village information system. The next news came from the city of Baubau, Southeast Sulawesi. Hundreds of boys of about 5 years old rollicking and throwing stones at a little shack not far from the residential area. The shack was eventually collapsed after being hit with stones of various sizes. Some residents who witnessed the incident were seen giving encouragement to the hundreds of small children to throw properly, but not all children threw right on target. Chairman of Bugi Indigenous Village District Sorowaliyo, City of Baubau, Southeast Sulawesi, Junudin, said on Thursday it was one of a series of mass circumcision traditional custom called Pihalachia. The shack was thrown at as if to cast out demons. According to Junudin, mass circumcision is done every 7 years for the children in the village of Bugi. Not only that, Bugi people who live in other areas also return home for the event. The last news comes from the district of Berau, East Kalimantan. A giant red and white flag was spread on the ground at Berau District Gymnasium, East Kalimantan, on Wednesday, September the 14th morning. The flag was then flown by approximately 1,800 students from 9 high schools and vocational schools in Tanjung Redep, the capital of Berau, by forming rows of formations and choreography. Half of the students raised thousands of red paper to the sky. Some of them raised the white paper, so the red and white was stretched, measuring about 80 times 40 meters. Fadilah Babinsa of Koramil 04 Berau said this was part of the Berau Anti-Drug Community Declaration. This declaration became one of the series of activities of Berau 63rd anniversary, which fell on September the 15th, 2016. Well, that was news from Indonesia over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with September the 18, 1931, the Mukden Incident. The Mukden Incident or Manchurian Incident was a stage event engineered by Japanese military personnel as a pretext for the Japanese invasion in 1931 of northeastern China, known as Manchuria. On September the 18th, 1931, Lieutenant Suemori Kawamoto detonated a small quantity of dynamite close to a railway line owned by Japan's South Manchuria Railway near Mukden, now Shenyang. The explosion was so weak that it failed to destroy the track and a train passed over it minutes later. But the Imperial Japanese Army accused Chinese dissidents of the act and responded with a full invasion that led to the occupation of Manchuria, in which Japan established its puppet state of Manchukuo 6 months later. The ruse of war was soon exposed to the international community, leading Japan to diplomatic isolation and its March 1933 withdrawal from the League of Nations. Next is from September the 18, 1948, PKI Rebellion in 1948. PKI Rebellion 1948, or also called Madiun Affairs, was a rebellion by members of the Indonesian Communist Party on September the 18, 1948 in the town of Madiun. The uprising began after the fall of Indonesia's cabinet, which at that time was led by Amir Syarifuddin. The cabinet was no longer supported since the signing of the Renville Agreement. Then a new cabinet was formed with Muhammad Hatta as prime minister. Anti-government group was getting stronger after Musso, an Indonesian Communist Party leader, returned from Russia. They argued that the national leadership must be controlled by the Communist Party of Indonesia. Anti-government movement culminated in the outbreak of Indonesian Communist Party rebellion in Madiun, an attempt to seize power and to make the Republic of Indonesia as a communist state, but it failed. Let's conclude with September 18, 2007, anti-government rallies in Myanmar. The 2007 anti-government protests in Burma began on August 15, 2007 and continued. The cause of the protest was the decision of the Junta Peace and Development Council to cancel fuel subsidies and raise fuel prices on the advice of the IMF and the World Bank as much as 100%. Led by the students and opposition political activists, the protest was dealt quickly by the junta with dozens of protesters held. On September 18, the demonstration were led by thousands of Buddhist monks, members of the Alliance of All Burmese Buddhist Monks. The protest was allowed to last until the government began to arrest the protesters on September 26. This rally is called the Saffron Revolution. And that ends Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with highlights of this week entitled Government Decision on Illegal Drug Circulation. Illegal drug trafficking has been rampant lately and become a concern for the government. Minister Coordinator of Human Development and Culture Puan Maharani held a coordination meeting on the issue on Thursday, September 15 in Jakarta. The meeting was also attended by the Minister of Health Nila Muluk, Head of Food and Drug Monitoring Agency BPOM Penny L. Lukito, Secretary General of the Central Board of Indonesian Pharmacists Association Novendri Rustam, and the Head of the Criminal Investigation Police Commissioner General Aridono Sukmanto. After the meeting, the Minister Coordinator of Human Development and Culture Puan Maharani explained to the media that the meeting resulted in five decisions. First, the police must act decisively and provide security to the community and to provide a deterrent effect on perpetrators. Second, the Food and Drug Monitoring Agency should immediately undertake preventive measures that counterfeit and illegal drugs cannot be produced and distributed, among others by using the invoicing system in every purchase of drugs. This system will allow consumers to clarify or check and recheck drugs and food purchased. If in the process of clarification is found that the Food and Drug Administration cannot be accounted for its origins, it can be directly reported to law enforcement officials, the agency, or the Ministry of Health. Puan Maharani said the circulation of medicinal raw materials or expired food products can also be reported. Third, it was agreed that the Ministry of Health, the agency and the police must participate in improving socialization and education related to community where the drug is sold officially, as well as information about the types of legal drugs and foods consumed. Puan requested ministries and agencies to work together with Indonesian Pharmacists Association in terms of socialization and education. Fourth, the Interior Minister is requested to write to heads of cities, counties, and provinces in order to play an active role in preventing the circulation of counterfeit and illegal drugs in their respective regions. Fifth, the government plans to review the existence of folk pharmacies. They are deemed no longer in line with the original purpose because they become the center of counterfeit drug circulation. At the end of the press conference, the minister said such coordination meetings will be held continually to monitor the development of counterfeit and illegal drugs and prevent their circulation. She said it is a complex problem and could not simply be solved in one meeting alone. Well, that was highlights of this week. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, coming up next, news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo called on Indonesian citizens to refrain from corruption and stop others from committing it during a visit to Bandung, West Java on Saturday, September 17. He said that his message is simple and clear. Stop corruption, that's it. No one should do it, not at any time. The president also said the government has always respected the effort of the Corruption Eradication Commission, or KPK, to stamp out corruption, including its recent arrest of the Regional Representative Council Speaker Irman Guzman for allegedly receiving illegal gratification. Several NGOs have issued a letter of reprimand against Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan for planning to resume the G Island reclamation project in Jakarta Bay. The open letter of reprimand was recently read out by Martin Hadiwinata of the Indonesian Traditional Fishermen's Association at the Legal Aid Institute office. The Regional Representative Council has said will leave the case of alleged corruption involving its chairman to the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, to resolve. DPD Deputy Chief Farouk Muhammad stated at the Parliament building on Saturday evening that responding to the press conference held by the KPK leadership after it had caught a DPD member red-handed, the DPD leadership and members are concerned about the case. Indonesia, famous all over the world for its Bali Island, is now ready to reveal its other hidden paradises to foreign as well as domestic tourists. Gandrung Sewu Festival, which was held in Boom Beach, Banyuwangi Regency, East Java, has mesmerized thousands of local and foreign tourists who attended the festival. Acting Head of Tourism and Cultural Department of Banyuwangi Administration, Yanuar Pramuda, in Banyuwangi, explained that as many as 1,300 Gandrung dancers play wonderful choreography in the shoreline with a background Bali Strait. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed the hope that the 19th National Sport Week will produce national athletes capable of achieving great heights. Listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a regular segment featuring Indonesian tourism, including art and culture, tourist destination, places of interest, also culinary. Today, I'll take you on a culinary tour to Probolinggo, East Java Province, to taste Ketan Krato. Stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides through the shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. There are a variety of interesting attractions in Probolinggo, which you can enjoy if you visit it, such as the Park of Environmental Studies, Port of Tanjung Tembaga, Probolinggo Square, and the Elderly Park. After visiting those places, you can continue your tour in the city with unique Probolinggo culinary tasting. One of the typical culinary you can taste is Ketan Krato. Ketan Krato is sticky rice cooked with a mixture of wafa beans, which in Madurese is called krato. Ketan Krato is served with grated coconut and sprinkled with brown sugar. But this splash of brown sugar depends on taste, because sometimes there are some who do not want a splash of brown sugar on sticky rice but ask for salt instead. When eaten, the taste of glutinous rice will chime with krato. Then, when adding with a splash of brown sugar, a sweet savory flavor will appear on the tongue, melt in the mouth, and leave a delicious flavor. To cook sticky rice with krato is not too difficult. Krato is skinned and boiled once. After boiling, briefly remove it from the fire, then boil again up to 6 times. After cooked separately for 6 times, krato is steamed and mixed with sticky rice using a stove with firewood as fuel. So the glutinous krato will taste better. The cooking process, which takes up to 6 times, aims to avoid any mistake in cooking, for it can make you experience dizziness. Ketan krato or glutinous krato can be found in stalls scattered in Probolinggo. But to taste this cuisine, you can only do it in the morning around 4 a.m. until 10 a.m. because actually ketan krato is a typical morning meal or breakfast for Probolinggo society. In order to taste more delicious, sticky or glutinous krato is often enjoyed with a cup of coffee or tea. A plate of krato sticky rice is sold for about 3,000 rupiahs. If served with a glass of coffee or tea, you are required to pay 1,000 rupiah more. For your information, $1 is 13,000 rupiahs. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener of our Early Word Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Miscellany, a regular program that brings various information from Indonesia, including arts and culture, custom and tradition, technology and environment, and also lifestyle. In today's edition, I will discuss about Jogja's people who often visit library. Stay tuned. Listener, reading is the key to gain knowledge, and reading activity can be done everywhere. Library is one of supporting facilities for people to get some reading materials. Speaking about the level of people's interest to visit the library, Yogyakarta has high interest compared to any other regions in Indonesia. Visitation level in Yogyakarta is the higher in Indonesia. It was recently stated by Deputy Social Statistics Central Bureau of Statistics, Sairi. Visit the library is one of positive things to spend time. The visitors of the library usually have specific purposes, such as to get knowledge or just to read. According to Sairi, the majority of Yogyakarta's people intentionally spend time in the library. This is why Yogyakarta is titled as Kota Pelajar or City of Students. Today, with the development of reading media such as internet, the government is still considering that the library is a place for gaining knowledge and helping people to learn something new. Sairi said that people who still visiting the library to study and get knowledge, when nowadays people are in the middle of library competition with other knowledge sources, including digital library, this should be appreciated. Central Bureau of Statistics data noted that Bali is the first region for people aged 5 to 45 to visit library, and the percentage is 75.62%. The second is Yogyakarta with the percentage of about 74.67%, and the third is Gorontalo with 67.41%. For elementary and junior high school, the visitation level of Jogja's people to the library is ranked first in Indonesia. Meanwhile, the largest library visitors consisting of college students is from Bali, with the percentage of about 75.62%. The second is Yogyakarta with 74.67%, and the third Gorontalo with 68.41%. Because of the high interest for Jogja's people in reading in the library, the government supports them by providing good quality facilities. On December 2015, Jogja's administration inaugurated Region Library BPAD, or Library and Regional Archive. This luxurious library is located in Jati Bangun Tapan Street, precisely next to Jogja Expo Center. The library that inaugurated in January 4, 2016 is the largest library around Southeast Asia by carrying e-learning concept. Besides, the library and regional archive is now doing a program called Jogja Library for All. The priority is the visitors can be comfortable so that they can stay for a long time in the library. This concept is marked as motivation to people so that they will read book diligently. The library also provides other facilities for kids, for example, 7D film by giving digitalization concept. Moreover, there is a kids room for storytelling, kids games, and also music room for kids. Listener, that was Miscellany for today featuring Jogja's people often visit library. We meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Goodbye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by M.S. Srinivasa Raju in India. He was listening to English program through frequency of 9525 kHz, 250 kW, on August 28, 2016, at 10:45 hours to 1100 hours UTC, and the SINPO was 34443. He said that he really enjoyed Indonesian music. Hello, Mr. Srinivasa Raju. Thank you very much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. Through your reception report, we know that you can hear our broadcast quite clearly. Thank you very much. Because you love Indonesian song, we'll play a beautiful song just for you. And as our appreciation, we'll send you our QSL card. Please be patient to wait for it. Well, Mr. Srinivasa Raju, here is your song.
Gerayangi dan geliat di kesepian. kota. Pucuk-pucuk mimpi yang berubah jadi nyata. Dicumbui harumnya putih-putih bunga. Putih impian yang membawa kita lupa. Hidup ini hanya kepingan yang terasing di lautan, memaksa kita memendam kepedihan. Hidup ini hanya kepingan
Listener, now we will reply an email from Muhammad Amir Manzur in Pakistan. We received his email dated August 16, 2016. In his email, Mr. Muhammad Amir Manzur wished us all a happy Independence Day. He said that may our country progress in everywhere and in everything. Hello, Mr. Muhammad Amir Manzur. Thank you very much for your wish. We also wish your country with the same prayer. In every 17th of August, usually Indonesian people show their nationalism, such as attending the flag hoisting ceremony and also participating in some games to enliven the Independence Day. Indonesian people commemorate the day with a lot of activities and we call it August 17th competition. This competition is held not only to commemorate the day, but also to become a way to evoke the nationalism as Indonesian nation, especially the next generations of Indonesia. Because the competition, which is usually held, is Indonesia's traditional games. Well, Mr. Muhammad Amir Manzur, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you very much.
Tetaplah malam, tak pernah bisa menghilang, akan terus ia datang di mana kau terlelah. Bintang terangilah diriku.
You are listening to Listener's Mailbag Podcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply a comment from Riaz Ahmad, also in Pakistan. He was listening to our broadcast through live streaming on July the 3rd, 2016 at 3:30 to 4:00 UTC. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad. We are really glad to receive your email again. And thank you very much for your compliment on our broadcast. We hope that all information from Voice of Indonesia can be useful for our listeners wherever you are. Well, Mr. Riaz Ahmad, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you. Listeners who are listening to our radio now, we'll play a beautiful song special for you. Let's check it out.
pandang lagi cahaya yang kita pernah dambakan lalui dan berharap keabadian datang di tangan.
Well, listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. We want to say thank you for listeners who have liked and visited our official Facebook fan pages. Thank you for visiting our Facebook fan pages and for being our regular listeners. Well, listener, we appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter @VoiIndonesia. You can also join our Instagram, Voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we'll play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Anhia Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Dilahirkan bukan untuk menyakitimu, tapi ku digariskan tak membahagiakan hidupmu. Suatu hari nanti, jika hadir si buah hati, ku berharap selalu tak seperti diriku. Jangan menangis, terkadang cinta itu sadis. Dan janganlah marah, terkadang cinta bikin susah. Mungkin ku bajingan, tapi bukan penjahat perang yang selalu menikam tanpa belas kasihan.
kesalahan aku gini. Biarlah bulan menyinari penyesalan aku ini. Biarlah bintang menikmati kepedihan aku gini. Biarlah semua jadi saksi yang ku alami. Dan janganlah marah, terkadang cinta bikin susah. Mungkin ku bajingan, tapi bukan penjahat perang yang selalu menikam tanpa belas kasihan. Biarlah hujan menyirami kesalahan aku gini. Biarlah bulan menyinari penyesalan aku ini. Biarlah bintang menikmati kepedihan aku ini. Biarlah semua jadi saksi yang ku alami.
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Yang penuh penderitaan
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at em.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.